We are so glad you've joined us today for our Tuesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our study in Exodus, so let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll put a Bible in your hand. We are going to finish chapter 38 and 39 here this morning. I know, crazy town. I know, crazy town. So, yes. And so next week, Lord willing, maybe it'll take 1 week, maybe it'll take two to go through chapter 40. But after that, we're going to jump into the book of John. And then a couple weeks before Christmas, we'll probably do a little couple things about the Christmas story. I was thinking of doing the whole Christmas story this year, but I don't have enough weeks to do that. And for the way I want to do it, so I'll probably do that next year. But we'll do a couple of Christmas messages before Christmas and then the weekend after Christmas. And then we'll get back into the book of John again. So with that, again, Exodus 38 is where we're going to be. Starting in verse 21, we left off in verse 20 last time. And so we're going to have this collection of materials to be able to now make the tabernacle. And so it begins here in verse 21. It says, this is the inventory of the tabernacle of the testimony, which was counted according to the commandment of Moses for the service of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And with him was Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver, a designer, a weaver of blue, purple, scarlet thread, and of fine linen. So it looks like Ithamar, the youngest of Aaron's four sons, he's the one that's in charge of the inventory, getting all the materials that are needed to be made for the tabernacle. The word Ithamar here in the Hebrew means land of palms. Didn't really wow me. You know, thought it might have a little bit more significance in the way of meaning and things like that. But, you know, sometimes when you jump into something like that, that's all you get. So there you go. Land of palms. Not a real wow factor. But anyway, Bezalel and Aholiab, these are two guys that we've come across before. God placed wisdom and understanding on how to make all these things. We read in Exodus 36:1, and Bezalel and Aholiab, and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of the work for the service of the sanctuary shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. And so again, Bezalel and Aholiab, God is one that put the wisdom and understanding on how to do all these things, how to make all that furniture, how to do all the engravings, how to put all these materials together. God is one that gave them wisdom to do that. And also, we read earlier in Exodus that also gave them the wisdom and understanding of how to teach others to raise them up in the arts as well. So they're not the only ones doing it. Verse 24 of chapter 38. And here's the gold that they collected. And the gold that was used in all the work of the holy place, the gold of the offering, was 29 talents of gold and 730 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is half shekel. So gold, a talent, is anywhere between 75 and 100 pounds. And so I went with 75 pounds here. So if you took, if a talent is 75 pounds and they have 29 talents of gold, then 25 times 29 equals 2,175 pounds of gold. That's a lot of gold. Today, gold is $4,000 an ounce. So if there is 16 ounces to a pound, then 4,000 times 16 equals $64,000 equals a pound of gold. If they have 2,175 pounds of gold, and you multiply 64,000 times that, you get $139,200,000 in today's currency of the value of that gold. That's just the gold. That's just the gold. Now, you also have the silver, verse 25. And the silver from those who were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents, and 1,775 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. So I don't include the shekels that also were collected here for the silver or for the gold. I just went with strictly the talent of gold, okay? A beka for each man that is half a shekel. We went over that. We went over the ransom of a man in chapter 31, I believe it was, in Exodus. For everyone, including the numbering from 25 years old and above, for 603,550 men. And from the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary, the basis of the veil. 100 sockets from the 100 talents, one talent for each socket. Then from the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars, overlaid their capitals, and made bands for them. So for the 75, a talent again is equal to 75 pounds. So if you get 100 talents of silver times 75, you have 7,544 pounds of silver. As of last Friday, November 14th, 2025, silver was at $50 an ounce. So again, 16 ounces to a pound. 50 times 60, 16 equals $800 for a pound of silver. And so if you have 7,544 pounds of silver times 800, you get 6,035,200 in today's currency of just silver alone. I did not take into account the other shekels. I have not taken into account the bronze and what that's worth, okay? I was having a hard time looking that up because some says copper, some says bronze, and so it was a little bit more difficult with that. With all of this, understand it is the silver that were the sockets or the bases for the tabernacle, for all the boards, for the infrastructure, for everything to hang on, okay? So you had the, as well as for the veil that went across, separated the holy place from the holy of holies. So it was the silver that was the foundation of the tabernacle. And we've already gone over that silver speaks of redemption, okay? Redemption is just, a fancy word to be able to say payment made, okay? So this payment is made, this silver is on the foundation of the tabernacle. The tabernacle is Christ. We know that because it speaks of redemption, payment made, God's redeeming grace is the foundation to this tabernacle. Same with us. We are the tabernacle of God. We are the temple of God, we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And it's the Holy Spirit, God, who now dwells inside of us. We are the tabernacle. We are the temple. Okay? Based on what? The sacrifice of Christ. He's our redeemer. He is our foundation to which makes us the tabernacle, the temple, okay? And remember what Jesus said on the cross, tetelestai, paid in full. He is our silver, he is our redeemer. So we see this as we go through God's word. And so the offering of bronze was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. With it, he made the sockets of the door of the tabernacle of meeting, the bronze altar, the bronze grating for it, all the utensils for the altar, the sockets for the court all around, the bases for the court gate, all the pegs for the tabernacle, all the pegs for the court all around. And this is for a temporary tabernacle. And so again, I didn't calculate the bronze. But when you take the gold, when you take the silver, you're already at like $147 million, maybe close to $150 million. When you include all the other things and that are in this, like the bronze and things like that. And so this is about $150 million for a temporary structure in today's dollars. That's this building right here, $17 million. God had way more he could have given to us to build something more. $17 million is nothing to him. Back in the day, $150 million just for a temporary structure. The temple would have cost probably 10 times as much as that. So $17 million to nothing. That's nothing. God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Now granted, I am constantly praying that he would sell some of the cattle and give it to us. You know. But he owns everything. And he's not poor. Now we come to the preparation of the priest's garments. Verse 1 of chapter 39 says this. Of the blue, purple, scarlet thread, they made garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he made the ephod of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, which means white. Okay. And they beat the gold. This isn't gold fabric, along with the blue fabric and the red fabric and the white fabric. No, it says here they beat the gold into thin sheets. This is actual gold. They beat it into thin sheets and cut it into threads. How do you do that? How would you do that today? Well, we don't have to worry about it. They obviously had the technology because God gave it to them. As it speaks here, that God is the one that gave them wisdom and understanding how to do all these things. It was supernatural. But to work it in with the blue, the purple, the scarlet thread, and the fine linen into artistic designs. Wow. There are many who see the gold speaks of the divinity of Jesus. We've gone over that, and it does. There are others that see then the other four colors actually speak of the four gospels. And it's amazing how it does. The purple here speaks of Matthew. Matthew goes to great lengths to be able to show that Jesus came from David, the line of David, that he is the son of David, who is from where? Judah. That speaks of kingship. And so the purple speaks of Matthew's gospel. Scarlet speaks of Mark, who speaks of the suffering servant, the red, the scarlet, his blood. White is fine linen. That speaks of Luke. Luke goes to great lengths to be able to show that Jesus is perfect. He is sinless. And blue, as we're going to see in John's gospel, John is trying to show that Jesus is the Son of God who has come from heaven. Speaks of blue. Verse 4 of chapter 39 continues and says, and they made shoulder straps for it to couple it together. It was coupled together at its two edges. And the intricately woven band of his ephod that was on it was the same workmanship, woven of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, of fine woven linen as the Lord had commanded Moses. And they set onyx stones enclosed in settings of gold. They were engraved as signets as engraved with the names of the sons of Israel. So each one of the onyx stones on each shoulder had six of the names of the tribes of Israel, the one, six on the other. And he put them on the shoulders of the ephod as a memorial stones for the sons of Israel, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he made the breastplate, artistically woven like the workmanship of the ephod, of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and a fine woven linen. They made the breastplate square by doubling it. A span was its length, a span its width when doubled. And again, we went over a great detail on this when we went over the priest's garments and things like that. So earlier on, I'm forgetting what chapter that is. 28? Thank you. 28, as we've just heard from the Holy Spirit, right there. 28. It's chapter 28. And so they set it, so we read here, they made the breastplate square by doubling, a span was its length, a span its width, that when doubled. And then they set it in four rows of stones, a row with sardius, topaz, emerald was the first row. Second row, turquoise, sapphire, and a diamond. Third row, jacinth, agate, and amethyst. Okay. And the fourth row, beryl, onyx, jasper. And they were enclosed in settings of gold in their mountings. There were 12 stones, according to the names of the sons of Israel, according to their names, engraved like the signet, each one with its own name, according to the 12 tribes. And they made chains for the breastplate at the ends, like braided cords of pure gold. And they also made two settings of gold and two gold rings and put two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And they put the two braided chains of gold in the two rings on the ends of the breastplate. The two ends of the two braided chains they fastened in the two settings and put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in the front. And they made two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate on the edge of it, which was on the inward side of the ephod. And they made two other gold rings and put them on the two shoulder straps underneath the ephod towards its front, right at the seam, above the intricately woven band of the ephod. And they bound the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the ephod and a blue cord so that it would be above the intricately woven band of the ephod, and the breastplate would not come loose from the ephod as the Lord had commanded Moses. And so here we have a picture of this. And again, we went over all these things in great detail. There's the onyx stone with the six names of the tribe of Israel on each. Each one of these 12 stones would have the names of the tribes of Israel, 12 tribes, 12 names on these stones. And so that's a really good picture of what the breastplate is as it's attached to the two shoulder onyx stones, which is really, this part is attached to the ephod, and it is more part of the ephod than the breastplate. So there's a good look of that. If you want to know more about that, go back to chapter 28 when we did that. We went over that in great detail. And then it says in verse 22, he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue. And so there's the ephod, and then there's the robe of the ephod. And the robe of the ephod is completely blue, okay? And there was an opening in the middle of the robe, like the opening in a coat of mail, with a woven binding all around the opening, so that it would not tear. And they made on the hem of the robe pomegranates. The hem would be at the very bottom of the robe. Pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet, of fine woven linen. And they made bells of pure gold and put the bells between the pomegranates on the hem of the robes, all around between the pomegranates. A bell, a pomegranate, a bell, and a pomegranate, all around the hem of the robe to minister in, as the Lord had commanded Moses. They made tunics, artistically woven of fine linen, for Aaron and his sons. A turban of fine linen, exquisite hats of fine linen, short trousers of fine woven linen, a sash of fine woven linen with blue and purple and scarlet thread, made by a weaver, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And then they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and wrote on it an inscription like the engraving of a signet, "Holiness to the Lord." And they tied to it a blue cord to fasten it above on the turban as the Lord had commanded Moses. And so here we kind of have a picture of that. And so it speaks about the tunic underneath, and that would be the breeches that it has there, the holy underwear. And then after that, the white, you know, that would go over that. And then you have the blue ephod that would go over that. And then you would have the actual ephod. All right, and then this is the breastplate that is attached to it. Now, this is from the Temple Institute there in Israel. And so nowhere does it say how long this is supposed to be. So they have it coming down to here, open in the middle, tied right here. But then they also show another picture of what it might look like. It might have just been, you know, more of a vest kind of a thing. You know, we don't know how long it was. One of the words that's used in creating this could mean, not always, but could mean checkered. So that's why they did it in a checkered design here, but then it might not have been checkered, and so they didn't do it here for this. So it could be this short, it could be this long. The turban there, it could be blue. It has the band that goes all around, holiness to the Lord. Here's the backside of that. And so again, this is what that could have looked like, okay? Now, pomegranates speak of spiritual fruit. You'll notice a bell, then a pomegranate, bell, pomegranate. They did it really well down there at the bottom. That's where it would have been. Pomegranates speak of spiritual fruit and serving the Lord. And pomegranates have the most seeds in them than any other fruit. And so, and then the golden bells, so you can hear the priests ministering daily in the holy place. Now, there's this old Jewish tradition out there that says the bells were there, so if they stopped hearing the bells ring, they would know the high priest has made a mistake and God had killed him. And so they're speaking specifically on the Day of Atonement, when he goes behind the veil to be able to make that sin offering for the people of Israel. And so if they don't hear the bells anymore, instead they hear that he died. And so they use the verse in Exodus 28:35, the sound of the bells will be heard when he entered the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, so he will not die. But what that really means is that it encapsulates everything. It says you got to have the right address and your attire has to be correct. You had to have washed at the laver before you went in. Everything that you're doing has to be done correctly, okay? Now, this is that whole thing about, and so they would say that, so if that ever happened, what they would do is they would tie a rope around the waist, around the ankle, so if he never came out, they could at least pull him out, okay, without going in and being in front of the Ark of the Covenant and things like that. Well, this is not true at all, okay? The Bible doesn't say anything about putting a rope around him. You can only have what God says that you can have. You can't have chapstick in your pocket, okay? So you don't get to do that. As a matter of fact, the example is given of Nadab and Abihu, also known as Dumb and Dumber, okay? If you go through the book of Leviticus, the book of Leviticus is only a time frame of 30 days. In chapter 9, they have just sanctified the priests to now begin to minister daily in the tabernacle in chapter 9. So chapter 10 is when this happens, when they offer profane fire upon the golden altar of incense and God kills them for it. So you're only talking probably a matter of days that they've been ministering, and somewhere along the way they chose not to do it the way God says. Hey, I know a shortcut. Hey, let's not take the coals from the actual brazen altar where sacrifice is made, and let's go ahead and just take the coals from our barbecue that we had last night, you know, or whatever it was, and let's put that on the golden altar of incense and put incense on that. And God killed them for it. So no, you take it from there. Because this speaks of the prayers of the saints, and guess what? That's based on the sacrifice given, which speaks about my son. You don't mess with that. So he killed him for that. And so you got to do things exactly what the Bible says in ministering before the Lord. Another thing that I came across, so Calvary Chapel taught this. I hope they don't anymore, but they did. Other people did as well. I remember going to a conference, hearing someone teach on that back in the early 90s, and I'm going, this is awesome. And so I brought it back when I came here to Colorado. I taught that for the first couple of years. And then as I'm going through God's word, I go, wait a second. That can't be true. Go over here to Leviticus chapter 16. When the high priest is ministering before the Lord in the Holy of Holies, he's not wearing the priestly garments. He's in an all-white linen outfit to show purity, that his sin has been taken out on the altar, and that he is now representing the people whose sin has been taken out on the altar, and now he's approaching God to sprinkle blood. He's in all-white for that. In Leviticus 16:1, it says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died." Interesting how that's brought up again. It's almost like to say he better do this exactly the way God says to do it. And it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die." He can't go on in there except on the Day of Atonement. That's the only time he can be able to go on the other side of the veil. "For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of the young bull as his sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. And he shall put the holy linen tunic, the linen trousers on his body, and be girded with linen sash. With the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments." And the word linen here means white. "We will stand with the hosts of heaven and cry, holy is the Lamb. We will worship."
That's it for another edition of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. If you've missed any of these teachings and would like to catch up, you can download our free mobile app. It's a great way to take any of Pastor Dave's teachings with you wherever you go. All you have to do is go to the Apple App Store or Google Play and search for Calvary Castle Rock. Once you've installed the app, open it up and click on Teachings, and then go to On the Radio. There you can listen to today's segment or any of the previous segments by broadcast date. You can also subscribe to our radio audio podcast. If you want to learn more about our ministry, please go to our website at calvarycr.com. That's calvarycr.com. As always, thanks again for listening in today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.